Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
There's like 11 extra children here today, and it's my fault. But that's good. Jesus, speaking in John 15, verse 9, said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Hey, welcome to worship this morning. My name is Billy. If you don't know who I am not the campus pastor here. If you're new, that's Pastor Jared, and I have the privilege. I'm the discipleship pastor for all of our campuses, but primarily down in Harrisonburg. That's where you'll find me most. But I have the privilege to bring the word here from time to time, and Jared's out today, so he asked if I would come and bring the word. I hope he's fishing in a lake somewhere. I'm not sure, but I hope that is where he's at today. But welcome back to week three, and I hope he's catching something, right? That makes it a little bit better. Welcome back to week three of the series titled The Keys of John, The Keys of John. And what we're looking at over these 5 weeks, it's five keys or five truths from the gospel of John. And if you weren't here the last 2 weeks, I'm going to quickly review where we've been to take you to where we're going. And the last 2 weeks, we've really been answering this question, who is Jesus? Pastor Jared's asked that question for the last few weeks. Who is this Jesus? Right? Because the Gospel of John, the writer John himself, it writes differently than the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew and Mark and Luke, they're primarily concerned with the where and what of Jesus, right? Where did Jesus go? What did Jesus do? And John includes those things, but John's purpose is not the where and what of Jesus, but the who. The who is this Jesus? That's what he writes, to show us who Jesus truly is, that he is who he claims to be. And so the first week we looked at the key that Jesus, the lordship of Christ Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, that he is creator, that he is eternal. And we asked the question, basically, if you believe that, is that evidence true in your life? Is it there? And then the second week, last week, we ended up at the tomb of Lazarus, the dear friend of Jesus who had died. And Jesus shows up seemingly too late, but we learn out of the declaration of his mouth and through his actions that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now that he does resurrection, he is the resurrection and the life. And last week, hey, we've already talked about it, 16 people were baptized. And so praise God for that. They have declared that Jesus is their life. And so now we make a turn in our series. That's where we've been. And so this is week three, and we're making a turn in our series. And we're making a turn because if we understand and we know not just who this Jesus is, but if we would declare in faith today, if you would declare in faith that he is that to you, that he is Lord, he is resurrection and life, then we must ask, what is his will for our lives as his children, as his disciples? What is his will according to the Gospel of John? If we understand who Jesus is, what does that mean for us as we follow in his way? And so this brings us to week three, sanctified and sent. Sanctified and sent. Maddie shared a little bit earlier, but you are sitting in a Church of the Nazarene. That is the denomination that we belong to, the Protestant Christian denomination, the Church of the Nazarene. And if you didn't know it, Jesus was from Nazareth. That's the main reason it's called the Church of the Nazarene. But in the Church of the Nazarene, and you can learn more about this if you want to sign up for Discover Your Church, I'll be back down here next Sunday afternoon with Jared. There'll be some good food. If you want to stay and learn more about what the Church of the Nazarene is, sign up for Discover before you leave at Next Steps. But in the Church of the Nazarene, we have three core values that kind of outline, that provide the framework for who we are. It's that we're a Christian people, that we are a holiness people, and that we are a missional people. And we're going to touch on all three of those today. In essence, the text that we're going to be in here, Jesus is praying, and he prays in this way in our text, and we're about to get there. Jesus prays that his followers would have a full measure of joy. He prays that his followers will not be taken out of the world. He prays that his followers are to be protected from the work of the evil one in their lives. He prays that the Father would sanctify his followers by his word, which he's given us. And he prays that if you are in Christ, that you are on a mission in the world. And so let's read it together. John 17, would you stand just for one more moment for the reading of the word? I know some of you got comfortable. I'm just going to make you uncomfortable for one more minute. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word, and we're going to begin in verse 13. Now, Jesus is with his closest friends, his followers, his disciples, and they're in the upper room. They're sharing their last meal before Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to be taken to the cross on our behalf. And he begins to pray in their presence to the Father, to his heavenly Father, right? We recognize that Jesus is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is speaking to the Father, and he's praying in the presence of his disciples. And we're picking up in verse 13. I encourage you to go back and read all of John 17 today, but we're going to pick up in verse 13, Jesus speaking to the Father. He says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer, Jesus speaking, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Thank you. You can be seated. This is the word of the Lord for us today. So in essence, the prayer of the Lord specifically is that we may be sanctified because we are being sent into the world on a mission for the kingdom of God. Sanctified and sent. And so I want to spend a few minutes unpacking this and applying this to the grid of our lives today, right? So let's go. Verse 13. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, Jesus speaking to the Father, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. Listen, if Jesus was so concerned for joy among his disciples, and if you're saying, if you've already checked out and you're like, yeah, but Jesus is praying for his followers then, for this context, for these disciples. If we go two more verses down in verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That includes us. So if you had checked out, check back in, that's you and I, if you're believing in Jesus today. If Jesus is so concerned for joy among his disciples that he actually prayed to the Father for it, then we can know that he's also in concern that you and I experience his joy in our lives. Okay? So you see, God's purpose is to multiply our joy in life, not to subtract it. Sometimes it's just, well, you know, if I give God too much, if I give him everything, I'm going to have to give up this, and I'm going to lose this, and I'm not going to be able to enjoy that. No. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I've come that you might have life, and you might have life more abundantly, life to the fullest. This overflowing, abundant life, that is the life that Jesus says he offers to you and I. And we look at the verse that we just opened up with in John 15. He said, I tell you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. How might our joy be complete? What has he told us? That we will remain in his love if we keep his commands. But you see, on the other hand, the world, the flesh, the devil would tell us something different. But God wants joy fulfilled in our lives. So exhale today and rejoice in that. Jesus continues to pray in verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. This idea that Jesus is speaking into here, the world, when he references the world, I want to be clear here. This is referencing not just like this geographical location of planet Earth that we're on, right? Okay? It could mean that, cosmos in the Greek. It could refer to that. But what Jesus is speaking into is the world system, the set of values that are ruled by Satan, by the evil one. So when we read the world here, that is what Jesus is speaking of. He's talking about the system of the world that the devil, that Satan, the enemy, the deceiver, whatever you want to call him, is the ruler over of. And two Saturdays ago, not yesterday, but the Saturday before that, a group of our men had gathered here for a men's prayer breakfast. It was great. And about a dozen of us went to Harrisonburg to help a new guy from our church move into his house that had moved to the area. And so I brought my son along, who's six, Halden, and he helped us. He did great. And I'm telling way too long of a story to get to a point, but just bear with me, okay? And so Holden went, and so afterwards, we're back at the house, and we're in the garage looking around. He's like, Dad, I want to build something. All right, buddy, what do you want to do? And so we find some wood. He says, let's build a little mailbox out of scrap wood. So, you know, I'm letting him cut, teaching him to measure. We're sitting on the porch, connecting Dad and son. We're doing our thing and letting him drill, run the screw gun, let him run the saw safely, okay? Don't judge me. But down here, I know y'all down here ain't judging me, okay? So I'm from Kentucky. And so he's doing the thing, and we're just having a good time, and he says out of nowhere, he says, Dad? I'm like, yeah, bud. He's like, why did Jesus create the devil? And I'm just like, you missed the screw right there, buddy. Where's your mom? I think your mom's hollering for you. But seriously, I'm like, out of nowhere, we're not even talking about anything with Jesus. And he just says, Dad, why did Jesus create the devil? And so I took note of two things. One, he recognized that Jesus is creator, that all things were created from and through him, which we talked about in week one. And the second is this. He recognized that we have a very real enemy. Are you aware of that in your life today? That the devil is not some figment of your imagination. He's not some invisible consciousness. You have a real enemy. Jesus said that came to steal and kill and destroy. And he was aware of that reality and confused by it. You say, show me this. This enemy, this evil one that rules the world. John 12, 31, a little bit before this, Jesus says, now is the time for judgment on the world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. John 16, 11, just shortly before this, Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he says the Holy Spirit will convict the world about judgment. This is verse 11. Because the prince of this world now stands condemned. And Jesus will tell them, his followers, before he prays to the Father in the presence, I mean, just shortly before this verse, in John 16, 33, he gets unpacking all of these things, and he said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world system ruled by the devil, if you don't belong to it, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And a little bit later, John's writing in 1 John 5:19, this is towards the back of your Bible, John says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So there's this recognition that there is a real enemy, and we see Jesus recognizing it here because Jesus is praying, hey, Father, don't take them out of the world, just protect them from the evil one. Protect them from the evil one. Author and pastor Mark Sayers says, there's two stories competing for our minds and our hearts. The first story is broadcast loudly across pop culture, social media, and all media. It claims that you and I are the center of the universe. We are unique individuals, and we can be awesome. Now listen, some of you are awesome. You're just not as awesome as you might think you are, all right? Same goes for me, and my wife will remind me that from time to time. He continues, he says, we just need to create our identity. By making the right choice with our wardrobes and our weekends, by hanging out with the right people and doing the right things, we can be limitlessly happy. The world, this system, the world offers you and me an amazing life. We just have to go out and make it happen. Live according to its way. The second story, though, he says, is quiet. It's more of a whisper from the back burner in our brains, but it won't go away. It's there in the quiet, in the middle of the night. It's the longing when the promises of the first story have underdelivered. And that whisper tells us we were made for more. In hushed voices, it insists that we have an immovable and important identity, a sort of real home somewhere out there. We're longing for it, and we know it's not just in our imagination. There's got to be more to this life, and it nags at us. We continuously, he says, suppress that second story, though largely because the first story is so loud. Everything from Instagram to movies to clothing ads to political campaigns declare we can be whoever we want to be. So you see, pursuing the second story takes time and intentionality and going against every cultural grain, going against everything that the culture says. And oftentimes, listen, those living according to the systems of this world will hate you because of it. Right? What did Jesus just say? He said, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. I've given them your truth. Why? I'm giving them your word, and the world has hated them because the word flies against every cultural grain. Why is that? Because the truth looks like hate to those who hate the truth. Okay? The truth looks like hate to those who hate the truth, who stand opposed to the system that God has put in order. And listen, Jesus understands this reality. Jesus understood it then, and he understands it now in 2025 in the world that you and I are living in. It's the one of the reasons he prays what he prays in John 17, because Jesus understood what was happening. He understood what we were going to face. And yes, being taken from the world, right? Being taken from the world would secure their safety from evil. However, it would leave the world unblessed by their testimony and by ours to what Christ has done and would accomplish. Listen, if you're not of the world, if you're not part of this world system anymore, then you are in a spiritual battle. But Jesus here, praying for his disciples then and praying for us today, Jesus didn't pray we would be taken out of the battle, but that we would be strengthened and protected in the battle. And listen, if your attitude, and maybe it's no one in this room today. If your attitude is, Lord, just get me out of here. This whole world has just gone to hell in a handbasket. Right? You heard that one? Then I want to let you know something true today. And this is for all of us. This is for all of us. If you belong to Jesus, if you've said yes to him, if you want to live according to his way, we must look at the moment in light of the story and not look at the story in light of the moment. Let me explain. If we look at the story in light of the moment, then it's going to look something like this. Turn the news on. We see the chaos. We see the evil. We see the perverseness. We see things going on around us. We see tragedy, just unbeknownst tragedy, natural disasters, all of these things happening. And we say, the birth pains have started. This has to be the sign that this is the end times. Jesus is coming soon. He must be coming soon. And listen, he's coming sooner than it's ever been. I just don't know when that is. But we look at the story and we say, look what's going on around us. This must be the end of the story. But I want to propose that we look at it the other way around. We look at the moment in which we're living in light of the story. And you know what the story declares? The story declares that Christ is risen, that Christ is Lord, and that you are living at the time in which you're living on purpose and for a purpose. It's not by accident that you're living in the days in which you're living, okay? So we look at the moment in light of the story, and our story tells us what we've already seen in John, that Christ is risen, he's the resurrection and the life, and that Christ is still Lord, he's still on the throne, and that you're living at this exact moment in time because God has a purpose to fulfill through your life. Will you believe that today? And the reality is this, he's given you divine weapons as protection from the evil one. He doesn't leave us alone. It's by his strength. He's given us his word. He's given us prayer. He's given us faith. And the reality is some were baptized last Sunday. 16 people were baptized. And I would about bet that there have been moments this week where the evil one has been hard pressed on you, whether with temptation or with shame or with discouragement. Pastor Carey, one of our older pastors, he said, if you get on target, that's with Jesus. He said, if you get on target, then you become a target of the enemy of your soul. If you're on target, you're going to become a target. However, we can take heart because the one that we live in, the one that lives through us, has, what did he say in John 15? Overcome the world and the evil one. Warren Wiersbe said it this way. It's on the screen. He said, how can we be overcome by the world when we have the word of God to enlighten us and enable us and encourage us? Jesus continues to pray. Verse 16. He says, they're not of the world, even as I'm not of it. He's doubling down here. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This word sanctify means to be separated out of, to be make holy, to consecrate, separate them, set them apart by the truth. And then he says, what is truth? Your word is truth. You see, we are in the world, but not of the world, which means we're called to not live like the world anymore. This idea of being sanctified, it refers to, it's right, that sounds like a churchy word, but it's referring to God's ongoing work to set his people apart for his purposes, to make them holy as he is holy. You see, in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one who prompts and tends to this work in our lives. We often hear these ideas about sanctification and about holiness, and we can, you know, they can get a bad rep. We can kind of put our hands up and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But let me remind you of this. Holiness is not, nor has it ever been, about performance. All right? True holiness, being sanctified, is about presence. It's about being possessed by the presence of God through the Holy Spirit in your life. Just your day-to-day life. It's about living a life of not how close to the line can I get, but how close to the Lord can I get so I don't get anywhere near the line. So he says, sanctify them. That's us. He's praying for us too. He knows what we're facing. He knew what they were facing. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Here's the truth today, friends. We must come back to embrace the authority of the Scriptures. The authority of God's word, the Bible, in our lives. Because you're either going to let the Scripture be the authority, or you're going to come back to the Scripture just to support your authority. And this prayer of Jesus in John 17, this prayer of Jesus supports our mission as people who would be disciples of Jesus, to be in the world, but not of the world. To be salt, to be light, to be that which enriches the world and our daily circles of influence, but not, on the other hand, to be influenced by the world. The Apostle Paul is writing in Romans chapter 12, and maybe you've heard this in verse 2. And he's writing to the Romans, to the Christians in Rome, who, yes, listen, he's writing this to the Christians in Rome, but he could have written it to the Christians in America in 2025. Because Rome was perverse. It was debased. They had a plethora of gods that they worshiped. It was vile. And Paul's writing to these believers there, and he says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That scripture, that warning from Paul, warns us that the world system, ruled by the evil one, the popular culture and manner of thinking that's in rebellion against God, will try to conform us to its ungodly pattern. And that process must be resisted and rejected at every turn. Kevin DeYoung, writer, author, he said, there is a way that looks like blessing, but in the end it leads to death. And a way that is more difficult at first, but in the end it leads to life. And listen, some of you may be thinking here today, you may be thinking, okay, Pastor, I hear you, but this call to holiness, to live in the world and not to be of the world, to not be influenced by the world, that just seems like too much. Can God really expect that from me in my life? I don't think it's possible in my life particularly. The great writer, Oswald Chambers, said this. He said, we must never measure our spiritual capacity on the basis of our education and our intellect. Our capacity in spiritual things is measured on the basis of the promises of God. If we get less than God wants us to have, we'll falsely accuse him as the servant falsely accused his master when he said, you expect more of me than you gave me the power to do. You demand too much of me, and I cannot stand true to you where you have placed me. When it's a question of God's almighty spirit, never say, I can't. Never allow the limitation of your own natural ability to enter into the matter. If we've received the Holy Spirit, God expects the work of the Holy Spirit to be exhibited in us. Right? We're talking about being sanctified, set apart, and being sent into the world. Jesus said it this way a little bit earlier in John 8 and verse 36. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I don't know where my life would be if I couldn't stake that claim right there in my life, that the Lord has set me free, so I am in free indeed. This sanctifying, this setting apart that he's talking about, however, is not, we're not set apart like fine china. You know what I'm talking about? Many of you have these curio cabinets at your house, and right, these nice curio cabinets, and they got your china in there. Grandma's china, or maybe it was your wedding china, and it just sits there. It has no purpose. You don't use it. It's so pretty. Look at the design and the gold trim, and you don't use the china. It serves no purpose, right? we're not set apart, right? You've set that china apart because it's special, but it's just to be looked at and admired. We are called as God's people not to be set apart like purposeless china in a curio cabinet. And let me just say this. You probably should use your china more because one day somebody's just going to throw it in a dumpster. Okay? There you go. That's a practical application for your curio cabinet today. That's free. Listen, eat on that thing. Enjoy it. Put it to use. But we're not set apart like that. We're set apart for daily use in God's purposes for serving and loving Him and serving and loving others. That's this sanctifying, this setting apart. We are set apart to be used in God's purposes. Look what he says as he finishes this section of the prayer in verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Yes, they have been set apart. They're not to be of the world. They're not to be like the world, but I'm sending them back into it. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So as those left in the world to carry God's message, we are called to continue to speak God's truth as Jesus did. Listen, friends, the church is called to be a counter-narrative people in the world in which we live. Different, a different narrative than the rest of the world is living out. A different story that is enlivened and led by the Word of God and by Jesus, the Word made flesh. The church is not to be led by politics and by culture and policy and race and gender and sexuality. We can't assimilate worldly and cultural philosophies and theories into our biblical worldview and call it Christian. It's simply not. Real discipleship, being sanctified and sent, wholehearted service and devotion to God in Christ Jesus, listen, is the only answer to the evil and ailing predicament we find ourselves in. Only holiness. Only a heart that is completely surrendered and sanctified to God and His purposes. That is the answer that our world desperately needs. It's not the right president. It's not a better school system. It's not public policy. It's not your opinion being the loudest. It's only the hope of the gospel of Christ Jesus. That is what you and I are called. That's what we're sent to bring into every facet of life. We are people, if you belong to the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus, we are people under orders, as Wiersbe says, and we had better obey. Jesus is now, listen, Jesus is now in this moment. He's set apart in heaven, praying for us, interceding on our behalf. We can't even wrap our minds around that concept, but Jesus intercedes on our behalf from the right hand of the Father that our witness would bear fruit as many people would repent of their sins and turn to the Lord and find life. Listen, as Beth and Rose come and we prepare to close, our mission statement's on the screen here. Maybe you've seen it before. It's posted around. Maybe we've talked about it plenty of times. But this is our mission statement. It's not supposed to be just a nice, you know, Christian cliche or something that sounds nice to put on a sign, but it's transformed by God. This is saved, this is sanctified and set apart, transformed by God, no longer fitting into the system of this world that's ruled by the evil one. Transformed by God to do what? To bring hope to others through Christ. You know that, listen, I'm for this, for gathering, for this. And let me make a statement here that I made in first service. If you're raising children, if you're in the process of raising children, don't raise your children to think that we go to church, okay? Raise your children so that they know that they are the church, all right? It's going to make a difference down the road because we're transformed by God to bring hope to others through Christ. We come here each week and we gather for worship, and I'm a churchman. I love the church, and so we gather for worship. We hear the word proclaimed. We sing God's praises because He's worthy. We receive communion, the sacraments. We celebrate baptism, praise God, 16 people last week. We gather for that purpose, but each and every week when we leave here, when you walk out those doors, you are being sent into the world to bring hope to others through Christ. And you see, Christ has the last word in our mission statement. This ain't about checking off a religious box. It's about knowing and worshiping Christ as the Lord of your life and mine, serving Him and sharing Him with in and through our lives. You see, living a biblically missional sent life is really all about lordship. It comes back to what we've been talking about in week 1 and 2. And it'll be impossible and exhausting and really have no foundation if we're trying to, with our best efforts, bring hope to others, yet we have ourselves have not placed all our hope and trust in Christ alone as Lord of our life. You can't give what you yourself don't possess. Or we would say it in Kentucky and maybe down here in Elkton. You can't give what you ain't got. Okay? So is Christ the Lord of your life today? Is he the object? Is he the expectation of your hope for your own sanctification and your day-to-day living in the world in which he has sent you? I ask you again. If you understand and know not just who this Jesus is, but you would declare in faith today that he is your Lord, that he is your life, then you must ask yourself, what story am I living into today? The first one or the second one? And the core values we talked about as part of the Church of the Nazarene, they give us a framework for the second story, the gospel story, the story that we are sent to embody into a world that desperately needs it, and that is this: we're a Christian people. We recognize that God pardons us by grace through faith, and it's a free gift. It's God's love for us. We're a holiness people. We recognize that God purifies us by grace through faith. It's a free gift. It's God's love filling and working in us. Are you catching on? We're a missional people. We recognize that God empowers us by grace through faith. It's a free gift. God's love through us. We are saved and sanctified to be sent into the world. Listen, God has the purpose. God has the purpose to raise up people who are so much like Jesus that they actually fulfill the mission of Jesus in the world. Richard Foster said it this way. He said, this way of living, it's not confined to people in religious order or those who have special skills in spiritual matters. He says, no, this life is for ordinary people. People who work in high-pressure jobs of information, tech, and finance. People who are constantly dealing with the stresses of raising children and balancing the family budget. People who teach school and work in hospitals and provide social service and so much more. In short, people just like you and me. And so my last question for you today, is your life an answer to the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a song of response here. And this song is going to declare, let my life be worship to you. Listen, not like fine china, not for purposeless china, but for the purpose of Christ. That's pleasing and purposeful and passionate. So my invitation to you is this. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you, but make this song your prayer today as a response to Jesus's prayer on our behalf. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for sending us the Son. We thank you that you have not left us alone, but you've given us the Holy Spirit. May your word accomplish in each of our lives and in our world the purpose for which it has went forth, and we pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.